All right, friends, we're going to speak the truth today. We're going to dispel the lies.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You are going to find today's broadcast to be therapeutic, cathartic. It is going to help you because there's so much frustration when you watch the news, when you read the news, when you see what's out there, when you see the way the culture's going. Well, we're going to get you through the frustration, maybe the anger, and come to positive things that we can do and are being done to make a difference. Thanks for joining in today. This is Michael Brown. Welcome to the broadcast. All of our new viewers watching on Dish or Pluto on America's Voice, welcome to the broadcast. Number to call for everyone watching live, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I want to start by telling you about a 15-year-old girl who wore a controversial T-shirt to her high school in Tennessee and was sent home for wearing it. I want to show you a ridiculous video, an absurd video, a delusional video with a supposed protests, and show you that, again, just eye-opening stuff. Show you some genuinely fake news. I mean, genuinely fake headlines to show you have to sift and dig. And look, I'm noticing some of these on the left. I'm sure folks on the left could point out fake news on the right. It's a discouraging thing when you look at a headline and you look at a story. It's not telling you the truth, or the headline is not telling you what's in the story, or the story itself is leaving out essential information. We'll get into all that, but at the end of the day, you'll be encouraged and strengthened more than frustrated. Okay, 866-34-TRUTH. I'm going to tell you the story, and I want you to give me a call if you think what this young lady did was right and good and courageous or disruptive and asking for trouble. Let me give you the background, then I'm going to put this young lady's picture up. This is all with her permission and her dad's permission. Brielle Penkoski, 15 years old, goes to Livingston Academy in Livingston, Tennessee. So overall, a conservative part of the country, not like, say, northern, you know, San Francisco or something like that, or New York City, right? And the first period teacher in her high school is openly gay. He's had a gay pride sign or indicator in his classroom. So you go in there, he's openly, proudly gay, and is open about his partner, his quote, husband. And Brielle actually went on Facebook just to find out. Thought there would be some level of pushback. She did not expect to be sent home for this. Now, she doesn't know who complained. She's assuming the teacher from the first period reported her, but she knows that she gets called into the principal's office. And the principal says this: you cannot wear that T-shirt. You must go home, change shirts. You're being sent home today. Why? According to what Brielle said and her father confirmed, according to them, the principal said because of a sexual connotation, that the word sex is mentioned. The word sex is mentioned, therefore there is a sexual connotation, and you cannot wear that shirt. Now, some kids have worn shirts saying virginity rocks, speaking, well, of virginity. Doesn't that have a sexual connotation? We are abstaining from sex. And since when is homosexuality, in common parlance, just about sex? I thought it was about, quote, sexual orientation or romantic attraction. And to say it's just about sex is to be demeaning and negative. She gets sent home for wearing it. She doesn't regret it. She's glad she did. She and her dad feel quite sure that if the shirt said adultery is a sin, that there would not be pushback, that she wouldn't have been sent home. Now, it'd be interesting to see that she ordered this online. She saw a website that you know, was about speaking out, messages on T-shirts. And, of course, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, Paul lists various sins. And he says, those who practice these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Don't be deceived. And he uses in verse 9 of 1 Corinthians 6 two different Greek words, and these words together explicitly and undeniably, as recognized in translation after translation, speak of men having sex with men. It's not about pedophilia. It's not about prostitution. It has no reference to committing these acts in an idolatrous rite in the temple. It's talking about men who have sex with men. That's why most of the more modern English translations don't even have two separate words there. Interpret them together as men who have sex with men or men who practice homosexuality. To be clear, every human being is fallen and flawed. Every human being has weaknesses. Every human being has wrong tendencies. For one, it's pride. Another could be self-absorption. Another could be cruelty. Another could be heterosexual immorality. Another could be covetousness, or one thing or another. We are a flawed and broken race, which is why Jesus came into the world to save us from our sins and bring us forgiveness and redemption. And some people are same-sex attracted. For whatever reason or accumulation of reasons, they are. But to act on those things or to enter into a relationship based on those is sinful in God's sight. So this is what Brielle's thinking. And what do you think? You think she did a good thing? You think it was courageous? You think it's a righteous thing for a girl to, obviously, with her parents' blessing and permission in doing it? But you think it's a righteous thing to say, if you're going to be out and proud open, then I'm going to be out and proud about what the Bible says? Or do students not have the right to do that? The teacher can be out and proud about homosexuality and be in an open relationship with his partner. That's fine. That can be known. That can be spoken of. But a student can have a contrary view, or they can have a contrary view on different things, but not on this. Not on this. Not when it comes to homosexuality. That's taboo. That's off limits. That's now an attack on the person. You can't do it. What do you think? 866-34-TRUTH. Here's the bottom line. Even though our primary message is not homosexuality is a sin, or adultery is a sin, or fornication is a sin, or a list of thousands of other things are sins, that's not our primary message. Our primary message is that all have sinned. I'm talking about a gospel message, not a political message. Our primary message is that all have sinned, all have fallen short, all need God, all need grace, all need redemption. That's our primary message. The fact is, if you can spell out certain sins but not others, that is a direct assault on freedom of speech. And if you say, well, this is too controversial, isn't it Bible? Isn't it Bible? Are we now going to ban certain verses from the Bible? Look, there were attempts to do that in Canada years ago, banning certain verses from the Bible. If California had passed its bill last year to put a ban on so-called conversion therapy, in other words, meeting with a professional counselor to get to the root of unwanted same-sex attraction, that's what it actually is, talk therapy, that if they passed that, making it illegal to do that, then it would have also been illegal. Let's say you're part of a church and maybe there's paid professional counseling you can get in the church, a service that the church provides. And the pastor said, hey, I highly recommend that you read this book by Dr. Michael Brown, Can You Be Gay and Christian? That would have been against the law. Or what about if you said, I strongly encourage you to read this in the Bible? So would that have been illegal? I mean, these were questions that were being raised. Will the Bible be banned? Let's go right to the phones. We got a ton of other stuff to cover here. Let's start in Raleigh, North Carolina. Jay, welcome to the Line of Fire. What's your perspective?
Hey, thank you. Well, obviously, I support the young lady having faith in God and God's word, and I completely agree with you. There is no compromising when it comes to that. My only fear sometimes is why we share what we share. Do we share it out of love, or do we share it more so in some sense of trying to protect God, as if he needs to be protected or his word needs to be protected? Sometimes the slogans and the T-shirts, they take away from the love. And I just wonder if that message should be shared more in a relationship sort of way rather than a shirt or a slogan. I think sometimes there's some unwritten things that are spoken. For example, someone could read that shirt and feel as if that person were judging them without admitting their own sins. And you just stated how we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We've missed the mark. And, I mean, that would be a pretty long T-shirt if it had to say all of that on it. Sometimes I just wonder if we need to share a little more love and just be careful with the slogans, signs, and T-shirts.
Got it. Hey, Jay, on the witnessing level, on the level of sharing the gospel with my neighbor, I'm with you 1,000%. In other words, if I was living next to an openly lesbian couple, right, I would not go over there. You know, my wife and I just introduced ourselves. Hey, welcome to the community. And we just, you know, well, I've cooked something for you here. Just want to leave that with you while wearing a shirt that says God is against lesbian relations. So I'm totally with you on that. On the flip side, Jay, and I'm sure you understand this as well, when you are in a school setting, and the teacher is making a public statement to all students that pass through that class, I'm out and proud, then to me, the student says, hey, you're out and proud. I'm out and proud about what Scripture says. You're going to wear this publicly. We're going to wear this publicly. It is a First Amendment issue. It is a pushing back for righteousness. So on the witnessing level, absolutely, totally, completely with you. In terms of taking a stand to push back, what else are you going to do? We'll be right back. Change the world. Change the world.
Send it, Lord. It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on the Line of Fire. I want to point something out. Number to call 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Do you agree with a 15-year-old high school student did wearing a shirt to school saying homosexuality is a sin, with 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 10 referenced beneath that, which say plainly that homosexual practice is sinful in God's sight, along with adultery, fornication, idolatry, greed, extortion, a number of other things, drunkenness, that God says you practice these things, you don't inherit the kingdom of God. The good news, 1 Corinthians 6:11, that's what some of you were. We all had a past. Maybe you were raised in a lovely Christian home and all your memories, you've always wanted to serve God and please him, but we all fall short in ourselves, and many of us have quite a past. Put me at the top of the list. Started getting high at 14, shooting heroin at 15, stole money from my own father, to my shame. Radically born again at 16. Yeah, that's part of my history, part of my past. God's mercy and grace can forgive any of us, no matter how far we've fallen. There's hope in God. But what do you do? What do you do when in your school, kids can wear gay-related apparel or gay celebratory apparel? No problem. Teacher, first period teacher for this student, out and proud, openly gay, speaks about his, quote, husband, posts things openly about who they are on their private Facebook pages. No problem. You come to school wearing a shirt with a Bible verse on it, referencing specific thing and singling out homosexuality, big problem. Big problem. Why? Based on what standard? Based on what freedom of speech standard? Based on what standard in terms of what's written in the Bible? There's a specific statement related to specific verses. Okay, to be exactly technical, homosexual practice is sin. Fine. That's the message that was being put forward. You say, but it's not the best way to witness. The intent there was not necessarily to witness, although it did send a message. The intent was to push back against one point of view being advocated in the school, a point of view contrary to what the Bible says, a point of view contrary to biblical values, Judeo-Christian values historically, and in Islamic values, if you want, in terms of diversity and plurality, and something that would have been looked at negatively through American history until after the sexual revolution. So why are there rights to proclaim gay pride and homosexual activism and all that in the schools, but there is no right to proclaim what Scripture says? You say, but we need to be very careful of the language. Look, you've never heard me rail on people and call them sodomites. You've never heard me do that. You've never heard me use insulting terms, slang terms to defame those who identify as LGBTQ. I've referred sometimes to how folks would refer to themselves, you know, like a gender transcendent, non-binary mermaid king queen. Talked about that individual a couple weeks ago. I'm just referring to them as they refer to themselves. But I'm always careful with vocabulary. I'm always careful to speak in a gracious way in the midst of differences. But here's the question. Has that stopped the flood of LGBTQ activism in our schools? Has it stopped the flood in our society to the literal taking away of our rights? No, it hasn't. No, it hasn't. So glad to get your perspective. What do you think? You've got kids in school. Maybe you're a young person listening, out of school, listening right now. Give us a call, 866-34-TRUTH. Okay, as I'm speaking, I'm putting a video on the screen for everyone watching, all right? And it takes place in Lafayette, Louisiana, a little over a week ago. And you have a group of people, black and white, standing, holding arms to block someone from driving into a gas station there. But I understand it's just a local driver, happens to be a white male, and he's going in there to get gas. And these, quote, protesters are standing his way. Now, what happened? A black man had been shot and killed. There had been a report of disturbance. He would not heed police, and he was going back into the store where the disturbance had been called in, and he was shot and killed. Shot 11 times, shot and killed, all right? The details of it, was it a right use of force, all that? That's something to be investigated, but that's what happened. So that's why they're protesting at that gas station. Now, this whole time I've been talking about this, the man has been gradually pulling in. He's going initially inches at a time because they're standing in his way, okay? One guy jumps on the back of the vehicle, starts jumping up and down on it, bouncing on it. Others are smashing it with their hands. Someone from out of the picture throws apparently a rock at it. So this is what's going on. This is they have no business blocking the entrance to the driveway. They have no business beating on the guy's truck. When he keeps driving very slowly so nobody gets hurt, when he keeps driving, they're giving him the finger, the F word, yelling at him, pounding on the side of his vehicle. Remarkably, he gets out of his vehicle. Guy, I don't know, looks like in his 60s, not a big guy, just to pump gas. That's why he's there, to pump gas. And some of the protesters, they go back to try to block others from coming in. And then this is bizarre enough. This is crazy enough, as if they have the right to do this. Oh, and why are you punishing the gas station? Why are you punishing the local drivers? What's that got to do with what happened to this young man that was shot? Okay, it's not like the gas station did it or this guy had anything to do with it. There's an issue with police. Let it be looked into. And thus far, it has not created the outrage that a George Floyd situation did. But here's what happens now. The guy is talking, someone's yelling at him, and now someone's narrating, this is what's going on. The guy's calmly listening as people are screaming at him, okay, pointing his finger at him. He's just like, hey, just here to get gas. So let's listen now to what actually happens. Let's listen.
about. This man took his vehicle and tried to pass it through a peaceful protest and tried to kill us. That's exactly what happened. This is why when we try to tell you, we're trying to keep this damn city calm, and this is what is happening right now.
This Josh Gillen and friends, folks,
that's
they
it.
Will run their car.
That's it.
To you. Act like they didn't do anything wrong.
You want to talk about inciting a riot?
It looks like somebody deliberately came here to cause destruction.
That's called domestic terrorism. That's a domestic terrorist. Make sure that they hear.
Where's the laws?
This is domestic terrorism.
This is one of the saddest things I've seen. Obviously, they're upset Trayford Pellerin shot and killed, and they feel yet another example of a black man being killed by police without cause. That's their position. They're hurt over it. There's grief over it. I hate the fact that people are hurting. I hate the fact that so many feel like, hey, that could have been me. All right? Not downplaying any of the pain, any of the grief. But friends, this is delusional in terms of what they're saying. This is the world turned completely upside down. He did not try to kill anybody. He drove his vehicle so slowly just to make sure that nobody gets, he just waited for them to part. They tried to push his vehicle back, stop him. If he wanted to hurt anyone, all he has to do is accelerate. Boom, that's it. Somebody's hurt. Floor it, maybe somebody's killed. No, he does the exact opposite. All he's trying to do is go and pump gas. They had no business blocking him. They had no right to block him. Truth, fact, all right? All he's doing is driving in inch by inch so as no one gets hurt. He did not try to kill anybody. He goes as if he did nothing wrong. He did nothing wrong. He's a racist. Why is he a racist? He's going to get gas at his local gas station. How does that make you a racist? Please, friends, I want to speak out against racism. I want to denounce racism. I want to expose it where it exists in our society, where it exists in any of our system, anywhere. This undoes things. This makes a mockery. Oh, and he's there to incite a riot, deliberately incite a riot. Are you kidding me? Especially watching the video. There's the guy quietly pumping gas and chatting with another protester quietly. He's not even gesticulating. He's not pointing a finger at people's face. He's not responding to the yelling and the screaming at him and the pointing at him. He's not saying, how dare you touch my car? He doesn't get out of there pulling a gun on them or nothing. No indication to even call the police. Nothing. Nobody. That's a domestic terrorist. That is not a domestic terrorist. That's a local guy filling his pickup truck with gas, talking calmly to a masked protester. To say he tried to kill us, to say he's a racist, to say he was inciting a riot deliberately, to say he's a domestic terrorist is to make a complete and total mockery of real race issues that should be discussed, of real questions of justice in America that should be discussed. But see, this is why so many people just dismiss the whole protest movement, dismiss it all, because they see nonsense like this. They see absurdities like this. And I don't care if it's a white person saying it, a black person saying it, or a green person from Mars saying it. It's just as ridiculous, idiotic, stupid, and degrading of the issues that people want to discuss. If and when there is police brutality, and I say if and when, let these things be discussed. Let these things be reviewed. Do new practices need to be put in place? Or are things being wrongly exaggerated and police being wrongly accused? Let everything be examined righteously, but this makes a complete mockery of it all. Oh, and as we have been warning week after week after week after week, while affirming Black Lives Matter, separate yourself from the BLM movement. Did you hear about the connection between BLM leaders and witchcraft, necromancy, consulting with spirits of the dead, being empowered by spirits of the dead? Coming your way. Stay right here.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire, 866-348-7884. I wrote a book that came out last year, Jezebel's War with America. And I talked about the spirit of Jezebel, not meaning a ghost from a woman from 3,000 years ago named Jezebel, or a woman in the New Testament that Jesus references as Jezebel about 2,000 years ago. Not talking about the ghost of someone from the past, but rather demonic forces. Yes, I believe in demonic forces. That the same demonic forces that work through Queen Jezebel in Israel 3,000 years ago in the Old Testament, or through this woman that Jesus calls Jezebel in the New Testament 2,000 years ago, that those same demonic forces are at work today. And that whether it's particular demonic power, whether it's a group of demonic forces working together, the result is the same, that there are characteristics. Just like you have certain physical diseases that have characteristics and a doctor can diagnose them. It's the same thing spiritually. There are certain spiritual characteristics that can be diagnosed. And when you see, okay, you have this, 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 aha. You know, you go to a doctor and the doctor checks you out. All right, does it hurt? Yeah, doc, it does. Do you feel fatigued? Yeah, I do. Do you have headaches? Yeah, I do. And is it affecting you this way with your, you can't eat? Yeah. Okay, that's this. It's going around. That's what you've got. Here's how we treat it. So the same way you put things together, you look at how Jezebel operated in the Old Testament. You see that she was a seductress. You see that she led the nation deeper into idol worship. So she was a sexual seductress. She led the nation deeper into idol worship. Idol worship in the ancient world is also associated with the killing of babies. Okay, connect the dots. So sexual seductress, idol worship, killing of babies, intimidating the prophetic voices with fear. And then with that, emasculating her husband. So the war on men in that regard. And then even with that, the war on gender, turning men into women and women into men. These are some of the characteristics of Jezebel, also associated with witchcraft, sorcery in the Bible. So in Jezebel's War with America, we connect the dots to show you how all these different things are happening in society today, and they go back to a demonic source. It's not just coincidence that you have the rise of porn, the rise of radical feminism, the Shout Your Abortion movement, the silencing of the prophetic voice of the church, the rise in witchcraft, all these things happening at the same time. So I was doing a radio interview a few weeks back, and the host said to me, I was on his show, he said, how do you connect Jezebel with the current protest riot movement? Well, it's a good question, because what's Jezebel got to do with the killing of George Floyd? What's Jezebel got to do with a cry for justice? What's Jezebel got to do with an outcry against racism? Well, obviously, those aren't the dots that you connect there in terms of Jezebel. But you look at the leaders and founders of the BLM movement. So here, I just want to say how I've simplified things. I do not want to dignify the BLM movement with the reality that Black Lives Matter. With the important reality that Black Lives Matter, and that as Americans we affirm that, because at times in our history, until today in certain parts of the country, it felt as if Black Lives do not matter. So I'm going to separate the movement from that slogan. Okay, we've all done that, but the simple way for me to do it is to never refer to the Black Lives Matter movement, but the BLM movement. I'm not going to dignify the movement with the important statement that Black Lives Matter. So we make that statement, we separate that from the BLM movement. Just use initials for that. That's my simple way of doing it. So we know that the founders of the BLM movement, all three women, radical feminists. We know that two openly identify as queer, their word. We know that they've said in their policy, their goals, they want to disrupt the Western nuclear family. Well, now you dig a little deeper, and you find out some of the spiritual roots. So my colleague on American Family Radio, Dr. Abraham Hamilton, is actually part of a documentary that I hosted for American Family Association called In His Image. And Abe Hamilton also contributes some great insights about what the word says and about male-female image. I believe this should be out somewhere in the fall. Very, very powerful movie. Very powerful documentary. God willing, will open in movie theaters as well. Really tackling the most controversial areas about homosexuality, transgenderism, God's will, God's desire, God's plan. So on his radio show, and this is getting a lot of play, a lot of folks have asked, have you found this? Have you heard about this? Yes, yes, yes. So since he's given exposure to this, I want to play clips from his show. He's going to set this up. There's a local BLM leader, California, who is a university professor, and then Patrice Cullors, one of the co-founders, one of the radical feminists, who says we're trained Marxists, who's openly queer. Again, her word. They're talking here, and Abraham Hamilton is going to set this up.
In all of the audio I'm about to share with you now, well, I see the disrespectful clock, so this is going to carry over to the next segment, is a Zoom-like conversation between two women. One of them is named Dr. Malina Abdullah, that she is a professor of African studies at California State University, Los Angeles. She's having a Zoom-type conversation with Patrice Cullors. Let me welcome you into their little conversation where she admits, maybe I'm saying too much. Listen to Dr. Malina Abdullah, who's also, in addition to being a professor at California State University, Los Angeles, she's also the founder of the BLM Los Angeles chapter of the organization. Please play clip number one.
Maybe I'm sharing too much, but we become very intimate with the spirits that we call on regularly, right? Like each of them seems to have a different presence and personality. You know, I laugh a lot with Waukesha, you know, and I didn't meet her in her body, right? Yeah. I met her through this work.
Oh, Lord.
Ah, so he begins to talk about this. Says, wait, how'd you meet this, Waukesha? This is some spirit that this local BLM leader, university professor, is talking about, communing with the spirit. They talk about African religion. They talk about the traditions of the ancestors, communing with the ancestors. Patrice Cullors explains that when they say his name, you know, the George Floyd, say his name. One of the people that were killed, Ahmaud Arbery, say his name or say her name, Breonna Taylor. That for them, they don't just want you to acknowledge the importance of this person and name them and respect them by saying their name, but they also want to conjure up the spirit of the dead. They want to commune with the spirits of the dead people. That's so, and they are empowered by this. All right, let's go over to the next clip, where it's Patrice Cullors speaking, and she's going to explain this a little bit more. Again, one of the co-founders of BLM, which is why I say this ties in with a whole Jezebelic spirit, consulting of other spirits, consulting with the dead, necromancy, drawing on their power, a spiritual movement, a witchcraft, sorcery type of thing. This is what's going on. Listen to what she says. This is her own words.
It's a very important practice. Hashtags are, for us, are way more than a hashtag. It is literally almost resurrecting a spirit so they can work through us to get the work that we need to get done. I started to feel personally connected and responsible and accountable to them, both from a deeply political place, but also from a deeply spiritual place. And always, you know, and my tradition, you offer things that your loved one who passed away would want, you know, whether it's like honey or tobacco, things like that. And it's so important, not just for us to be in direct relationship to our people who've passed, but also for them to know we've remembered them. I believe so many of them work through us.
Mm. So many of the spirits from the past work through us today in the BLM movement. And she explains, Patrice Cullors, how they draw power from that she couldn't have made it this far without the power that you draw spiritually from these deceased ancestors. And the professor mentioning one by name or a spirit that she encountered not in the body, and she had a name for her. Friends, this is why we have been urging you, shouting from the rooftops, separate from the BLM movement. It is anti-Christian. It will turn against you. It will turn against God. It will turn against Scripture. It is drawing its power from elsewhere. And that's why we work with those genuinely working for justice. We work with those genuinely working for racial reconciliation. We do our best as churches, as fellowships of believers, to learn from one another, to sit down and be educated by one another in terms of life experience and background, to become sensitized to things that may need to be addressed still in our society. It depends on where you live, depends on what the culture is, that we are bridge builders and working together with God for justice and for reconciliation. That's what we should all be doing as God-fearing, God-loving people while we separate from the BLM movement. Look, is it any coincidence that there is such a union between Antifa and BLM movement? Is there any mystery behind it? Is there any mystery that protesters burned Bibles in Portland and have set church buildings on fire and have vandalized synagogues? Is there any mystery to any of that? Absolutely, certainly not. By all means, pray for these individuals. Pray for them to truly know God. Pray for them to truly know who Jesus is. Pray for them to experience new life and forgiveness and mercy, as so many of us have. I know former Satanists. I know people that formerly engaged in terrorist activity in other countries, literal terrorist activity, killing people. I know people like that who've since been genuinely converted and made amends with their society around them. I know people like that. God's merciful. That's the whole message of the cross. And then let's use our weapons, prayer, fasting, preaching of the gospel. Let's use our weapons to bring spiritual victory and transformation. All right, 866-348-7884. Remember to stand with us if you appreciate the work that we are doing on our website, askdrbrown.org. Just click on donate. Together, friends, we're making a difference. It's frustrating out there in the world. You get in God's presence. There's joy, and victory, and purpose. Yes, we are overcomers.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
By the way, did you hear the news about Richard Spencer? So an alt-right white supremacist, racist, who in 2016 endorsed Donald Trump, has now endorsed Joe Biden. Now, some have said, can't take this seriously, can't even think about what he says or what he's trying to do and saying what he says. But he's saying, hey, I'm voting straight Democrat this time. Now, there are all kinds of arguments. There's speculation about why he did what he did. But I want to say that I am glad that Biden's camp said we don't want his endorsement. I'm glad they did that. That's a good thing. When you get someone like that, remember Donald Trump challenged over it again about David Duke endorsing him as if Trump was a white supremacist because of David Duke being who he is and doing what he's done as a former grand wizard of the Knights of the Ku Klux Klan. How do you feel about him supporting you? Of course, Trump claimed to not know a lot about it, but spoke against what he generally stood for. But good for the Biden campaign. Glad that when they got Richard Spencer's endorsement, they said, we don't want it. I appreciate that. I'm not voting for Joe Biden, as you know, but I appreciate when they do something right like that and separate themselves from the ugliness that's out there. I'm going to go to the phones, and then I want to give you another example of just blatant misrepresentation of things in the news. We'll go to Gaithersburg, Maryland. Andrew, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hello, Dr. Brown. How are you?
Doing well, thanks. What's up?
Yeah, Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing, Dr. Brown. I have kind of felt a bit uneasy about the whole POM movement, and what you said pretty much confirms it for me. And as an African-American man, you would think that people would think that as an African-American man, I'm kind of given the status quo of being, of supporting them. But after doing research, I, in some ways, felt like I couldn't even do that, you know, because as a Christian, I see some things wrong with it.
Yeah, and Andrew, it's the righteous thing to do. In other words, just because people have popularized a slogan and have been leading the way in getting national or even international attention on certain issues doesn't mean that it's righteous to stand with them. If it's a compromise group, if it's a mixed group, if it's a group that has other goals, if it's a group that makes plain the black lives we're talking about are only victims of police brutality, we're not talking about, say, a black 3-year-old girl that's caught in the crossfire of gang violence in Chicago. We're not talking about blacks being aborted in the womb. We're not talking about blacks in other countries who are being persecuted and killed by Muslims because they're Christians. No, we're only talking about those that are subject to police brutality, in which case change the motto then. So, yeah, it's...
Right.
Yeah, right. So when you looked into, did you feel uneasy first and then study more, or once you studied, you felt uneasy?
Well, I listened to several Christian leaders about this and then kind of did my own research and listened to even you, and I realized that this was kind of something that, especially when you're talking about the medium part, I was like, okay, this kind of puts it even on a higher level. And this is also where people who decry critical race theory really do have a point, which I hope one day you'll talk about that on your show.
Yeah, I need to get into it in greater depth and bring some folks on that can help really clarify and sharpen the issue. So, Andrew, you've said it well. Here you are, an African-American man yourself, and you want to affirm Black Lives Matter, but you recognize the movement is something you have to separate yourself from. You and millions of other Americans of all background and color have come to the same conclusion. And as if things unfold, it becomes clearer and clearer and clearer. Hey, thank you for the call. Look, I'm no Johnny-come-lately to this story. What is it, 2016? I wrote an article about separating Black Lives Matter from the BLM movement. All right, and there were others saying it even before me. So this is nothing new. This is something we've been saying, and the more you find out and the more you watch things unfold and when you see things developing, the worse it gets. And look, when you see the Marxist roots, to me, my issue is not so much Marxism versus capitalism, but Marxism versus Christianity. In other words, knowing what Marxism will ultimately do to the flourishing of the gospel in a country and where it will actually go, and the satanic roots of that way of thinking. So those are my deeper issues, gospel-based. Okay, if you love truth, then you hate falsehood, right? And it's increasingly frustrating now to see misleading headlines on the left and on the right, blatant misinformation. It is increasingly frustrating. So I was very curious to see what happened with the RNC convention versus the DNC convention. I had been reading reports about the drop in viewership from DNC convention in 2016 to 2020, drop in viewership of, say, roughly 25%. I'm wondering, okay, is it going to be the same thing with Republican National Convention? Just curious and watching this. So then after the first night of the RNC convention, I see that C-SPAN said that almost 6 times as many people watched the convention just airing the footage on C-SPAN as opposed to the DNC convention the previous week. Almost 6. I think on the air once I said it was 7 times, but it's almost 6 times more. That's whopping. That's massive. I thought, well, I'm curious to see what the Nielsen ratings are, the TV ratings, and then the streaming ratings. And I was reading some right-wing websites, conservative websites, and they were talking about the drop in the DNC viewership. So I was curious to see what they report about the RNC. So each day getting online, looking for Nielsen ratings, trying to find what I could, but then also saying to myself, Nielsen ratings and TV ratings only tell a part of the picture. So John Nolte, writing on Breitbart, and he's not a Christian, conservative Christian watching his words. This is John Nolte getting it out there. He's got an article on Breitbart that says this: Trump convention delivered 25 million more viewers than Biden's. Over its four-day convention, Donald Trump and the Republican Party earned 147.9 million viewers and raised $76 million in cash, reports Fox News. Over its four-day convention, Joe Biden's got an insulting name for him, which I'll skip, and the Patriot Party that wants to confiscate your guns and force nuns to pay for abortions earned only 122 million viewers and raised just 70 million. Okay, and he's, again, using his typical rhetoric and so on. So here's the problem. I looked at headlines which said the opposite. I looked at the reports that said the opposite. And I said to myself, I just asked, are they including streaming ratings? Are they including streaming? Because if you're just going by TV, that does not give you the whole picture, because so many people watch online on their computers, on their tablets, on their laptops, on their cell phones. So Nolte posts these headlines, again, with his mocking terms of each. But look at what he says. CNN, Biden hits, and I saw all these headlines as they were being posted. Biden hits Trump where it hurts, and the convention speaks ratings. NPR, Democrats beat Republicans in convention television ratings. Salon, Trump's Republican National Convention was a ratings flop. Huffington Post, despite all those fireworks, Trump still had lower convention ratings than Biden. Forbes, in battle with convention speech ratings, Biden beats Trump. And as Nolte says, not a single one of those headlines is true or accurate. They are all lies, bald-faced lies. Over those four nights, more than 25 million more people turned into the Trump convention than Biden. And we'll just look, and if you just look at those media headlines, they claim the exact opposite. Friends, I saw those headlines. I think I saw all but one of them when I was doing research. And I looked at them and I thought, I just thought that there was more enthusiasm, pro-Trump enthusiasm in the Republican convention than pro-Biden enthusiasm in the Democratic convention. And I don't know what's going to happen in November, but my assumption was the RNC will have more viewers than the DNC. It's just my assumption based on energy and enthusiasm. So when I saw those headlines, I asked myself, are they telling the whole story? I just wondered. And if you dig down, like CNN actually say, well, we don't know the whole story because we don't have the streaming ratings, and we don't have the online ratings. With the online ratings, it went the exact opposite direction. And overall, many, many more, millions more people watch the RNC than the DNC. You must combine TV with online. Everybody knows that. And certainly the editors know this. Now, let me say this again. There are misleading headlines on the right as well. There are misleading headlines all over. There is fake news all over. But you've got to be really careful. Don't just look at the headline, read the story, and then ask which website is posting it. Will they have biases that we can expect? And then dig deeper. If they link you to other sources, go and read the other sources. Go to the primary sources. Look, my PhD is in Near Eastern languages and literatures. The reason I studied more than 12 different languages, obviously I don't know them all well, but the reason I studied 12 different languages, plus actually if you count dialects and things like that, was to go to primary sources. If I need to read the Babylonian inscription in Babylonian, Akkadian is called, I can do that. If I need to research what the Quran says in Arabic, I can do that. When I'm studying the Hebrew scriptures or Greek scriptures, I can do that. To go to primary sources, friends, dig, get to the actual sources, facts. Learn to love truth, learn to expose falsehood, and be encouraged by this. Paul's words, 2 Corinthians 13:8, we can do nothing against the truth, only for the truth. Be encouraged. Visit the website, askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org. Check out our latest articles, videos, sign up for our emails. Together, we're making a difference. Change the world.